Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We've got 47 degrees, light drizzle, wind out of the west at 15. It's 8:09 on WCCO. It's a Sports to the Max, the Wednesday night edition. Eric in for Mike. Thanks so much for tuning us in. The Hammer, Craig Schreffer, is our studio coordinator. And in the newsroom, Edgar Linares, he's so good, I simply call him Cronkite. Later this hour, we'll talk to Al Newman. He's a rarity in this town. He's a champion. Two-time World Series champion with the Minnesota Twins in 87 and 91, so we'll talk some MLB. But right now, time to chat up the NFL with Matthew Hatchett, former Minnesota Vikings wideout. Always good to catch up with you, Matt. And I know a couple of weeks ago before the Buffalo Bills game against the Vikings here in Minneapolis, your old coach Denny Green was put into the Ring of Honor. And you played for Dennis, and a lot of people said, hey, it was about time that he got recognized for winning 101 games in 10 years, eight trips to the playoffs, a pretty good run.
Absolutely. I don't think he gets mentioned enough when you're talking about great, you know, coaches in the NFL. And, of course, they always put it back, okay, you guys didn't win a Super Bowl, so therefore he can't be in that discussion. But he should definitely be in that discussion. And there's no teams out there nowadays going back and forth to the playoffs every single year like Denny Green did throughout his whole career.
And he did it playing quarterback roulette. I mean, he didn't really have – a mainstay, Dante Culpepper, for a while. He had a good run with Randall Cunningham and a few others, Warren Moon. But he seemed to always have a new quarterback.
I think that just tells you what type of coach he was, because he was about the 53-man roster. It wasn't about one guy. It was never about, okay, we got a superstar, we have a Pro Bowler, let them do their thing and take us to the championship. It's like, no, all 53 guys all had a pivotal portion of the offense, of the defense, and of the special teams. And I think, you know, if you look back at it, every guy played well at his position, which makes you a good team, and therefore that's why the team, you know, was going to the playoffs and not just the individuals.
All right, your old team, the Vikings, they get a huge win on Sunday in Philly against the Super Bowl champs. They really had to have that, Matthew, because now 2-2-1 looks a lot better than 1-3-1.
Absolutely. It's still not time to panic, but again, they did need it, just I think for a confidence booster more than to say they would be out of the playoff race, because again, you're not talking about a conference that had somebody at 5-0 or about to go 5-1. So, you know, the team, they're going to be bunched up and they're all right there kind of, you know, jockeying for position. Once they get to week 13-14, you know, then we'll kind of see who's the real deal. But for right now, like I said, it was a confidence booster more than they needed an actual win for the record.
Sunday, Arizona comes to Minneapolis to face the Minnesota Vikings at high noon. And one of the interesting nuggets in this one for me, Matthew, is two of the NFL's most prolific wideouts will be on display. The Cardinals' Larry Fitzgerald Jr. is a future Hall of Famer, and Adam Thielen is simply blowing up. Thielen right now leads the NFL, 47 catches, 589 yards, 3 touchdowns. Meanwhile, Larry Jr., in his career, 15 years, 15,721 yards, 110 touchdowns. And Matthew, and you study the wideout position. Both guys are from Minnesota, skill position guys from the land of lakes.
Yeah, it's everybody's going to start coming to Minnesota looking for wide receivers now, right?
Well, and Eric Decker, Michael Floyd, there have been others.
There have been others. You're right. You got to put them up there with Miami, Florida, and Dallas, Texas. I agree. But no, like I said, you know, Fitzgerald, he's in a league of his own, just not from the football point of view, but like I said, the longevity and the personality and him being able to be a leader amongst men for all these years in the NFL. And again, just staying out of trouble, being a good teammate, being a good mentor to a lot of the guys in the NFL is why he gets the kudos that he gets. And he can also play some very good football, you know. So, and like I said, Adam's definitely doing his thing. He's on fire right now. Like I said, he came to Minnesota and found a new best friend in Kirk Cousins. I think that's got a lot to do with it. You know, that team camaraderie, that receiver quarterback camaraderie has a lot to do with that guy feeling comfortable with you and having you be like his pretty much go-to guy or his safety blanket. And I think that's what Kirk Cousins found in Thielen right now.
Matthew Hatchett, our guest here on WCCO, former Vikings wideout. When you look at Larry Jr., what sets him apart? Certainly the work ethic is off the chain. He can run the routes. He's got great hands, but he's not the fastest guy in the league. What, in your opinion, sets him apart, elevates him?
Contested catches. I mean, he never drops passes. You know, it's like, I remember it was like year 7 or 8. I think I've seen him drop like his first pass, you know, but I mean, contested catches, his big body frame allows him to kind of box out defenders. But again, there's other lot of big body frames throughout the NFL, and they still can't, you know, extend with their arms and pluck the ball out of the air. But for like those first like 10, 12 years, he did it on a regular basis, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 4s, 3rd and 6s. And if you did sleep on him, yes, he could also go over the top or take a slant to the house for 60 yards as well, which made him a complete receiver. But his definitely, he probably has the best ball skills since Randy Moss. And I definitely think that, you know, just the contested catches puts him above anyone else that has played in the last 10 years.
Can you relate to a guy like Adam Thielen in the sense Thielen, undrafted out of Minnesota State, had to come up the hard way, special teams guy early. Now he's a Pro Bowler. You came out of tiny Langston College in Oklahoma. So I would imagine you have a little bit of a synergetic feeling toward Thielen.
Oh, absolutely. He wore number 19. Don't forget, I was number 19 when I came to Minnesota. And then like week 10 at that time, I'm so old now. At that time, there were no receivers that were allowed to wear a team number or a single digit number unless all the 80s were taken. So we had a tight end that had 89 on. We released him week 8. And I'm actually like week 4 or 5, and I tried to hang on to my 19 as long as possible. And then I guess like week 8, 9, or 10, the NFL is like, there's an 80s number open on, you know, you guys' roster. You know, the receiver has to take 89. So I took it and wore that for the rest of my career. So I've been watching him since day one. You know, who's this 19 out here looking like me, just a little bit more light-skinned than me? But, you know, again, same type of thing. You know, have to work from the bottom, just continue to grind it out, do your job, be in the right place at the wrong time, don't do nothing to mess up, and be ready when your time comes. And, of course, you know, as a free agent last year, his time was up. And, of course, you know, getting paid big, and he's doing his job continuously, regardless of if he got paid or not.
Yeah, and you're a high school coach now out there in Long Beach, California. So at the prep level, do you hold up a guy like Thielen or Larry Jr. as a model of this is how you do it? They do it the right way. They run precise routes, great hands. Are they guys that you put up on the pedestal and say, hey, take a look at them. They do it the right way?
Absolutely. A lot of guys I tell, you know, if you have aspirations of going big time college football or big time, you know, professional football, I ask them the simple question, who do you think has the most talent, you know, or who do you think is the fastest, or who do you think? And all of those physical attributes are never the reason they make it. Never. So once the kid figures that out, yeah, I got some talent, but it's going to be my dedication to the game, my determination. Can I stay healthy? Am I available all the time? And am I a good teammate? All those things are what's going to get you to the next level. Everybody's going to be big. Everybody's going to be strong. Everybody's going to be fast. You'll catch some, you'll drop some, whatever those things are. But if you become all those other things, that's the only way that you can have longevity and be a professional athlete and really just be a professional in life as it is.
There's gridlock right now in the NFC North. Chicago on top, 3-1. Packers, Vikings, 2-2-1. Detroit at 2-3. Is Matthew Hatchett buying into the Chicago Bears?
Absolutely. Hey, and I'll tell you why, right? And again, it's when Matt came, right? You know, the team, I don't know Matt personally. I'm not talking about the guys I know personally. I'm just saying when Matt came to that locker room, the guys looked at him like, yeah, he's a player. Great. But the first game of the season, on that first couple series, they looked at that dude like, this guy's an animal. I want to do what he's doing. That defense in that first half, everybody lifted their level of play. It was the energy that was just in the air. right? Didn't care about the score. Didn't care that they were playing Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'm lifting my level of play. And you saw an energy from a Bears team that you have not seen in years. The second and third week, the offense saw the energy that the defense was bringing, and they're like, hey, we believe. We think we can win. We think we can play well. And now, week four, five, six, you're looking at a team that is playing with confidence, energy, and like they're just going out there having fun, and we're going to go to the playoffs and let it, you know, happen from there. But they're just believing right now. That's the difference. It really has, well, yeah, he can do this, and, you know, we got a quarterback that can do that. It's bigger than the X's and O's when you're playing with that much energy and that much passion and that much having fun. You know, that's just, they're showing it right now.
So that's an odd dynamic in the sense that you have a defensive guy in Khalil Mack who, as mm-hmm. you said, in that very first game Sunday night in Green Bay, he blew up. But he mm-hmm. eventually elevates the quarterback, Mitchell yeah. Trubisky, on the other side yeah. of the ball.
Yeah, and again, it's all of them. It's that whole offense when they're standing on the sideline watching the defense play. And the defense going out there getting a three and out. The offensive line's like, hey, fellas, let's go. Let's get this run game going, right? Receivers like, hey, QB, let's go. Give him a rock. QBs are saying, hey, tight end, let's go. And it becomes contagious. And when you have a locker room that is on the same page and believing in each other, who cares about the talent and the draft picks and all? Nothing else matters. They're out. We're going to get it. We're going to get this win. We're going to go out there and have some fun. And again, it's not about winning that every single game, but they'll look up and they'll be 12-4. And then when you get to the playoffs, you don't want to go to Chicago in January. You know what I'm saying? With the defense playing like that, and then they have a run game as well. So now you're going to be looking at a team that has the right pieces, and they're built to go to the Super Bowl in January if they end up 12-4 and being one of the first two seeds in the NFC.
The only two perfect teams left, Matthew, are the LA Rams 5-0, Kansas mm-hmm. City also 5-0. Mm-hmm. Break down the games of Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff, two young quarterbacks who right now they're trending up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they'll continue to trend up for a while. And yeah, what I hate about, you know, everybody watches Mahomes and they throw out the Brett Favre names and the best. I mean, talking about legends that have played 15 years, that have stayed healthy for 15 years, that have did it year in and year out. And again, don't forget, we had this exact same conversation about Dak Prescott mm-hmm. just 2 years ago. You know, and now is Dak going to even get re-signed? Is he even going to be a Cowboy? So you just have to have it, let it play itself out. Mahomes, he's going to do well this year. But January to June next year, you're going to have the best people in the world breaking his film down, taking away what he does well. And then after that, can he continue to put up those numbers and get better and take his team to playoffs and championships and things of that sort? I hope so. But it's not going to be a continuous pace like this. And again, when the guys come in the league and they do everything great and everybody wants to just, you're the best of the best and Hall of Fame this, just pump your brakes, let the guy live a little bit. But I love watching him. But again, I want to see him go to New England in January and do this exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's when I'll be impressed.
We always want to anoint somebody into the Hall of Fame four games into their
right.
career.
Right. And I mean, to me, it's just so disrespectful to people who've had great careers. And don't forget, this is football. The injuries are going to play part of it. You know, you're going to have to play through pain. You're going to have to play through cold weather. You're going to have to play with no starting receivers. You know, you're going to have all backups. Can you still go get a win? You know, playing with the B-level and the C-level guys. Like, those are the things that I want to see. I don't want to see the perfect scenario, which right now that's all you're seeing. Good weather outside, the Rams go do this, and everything's clicking. You know, it'll all catch up. I want to see the longevity of it before I anoint something, if anything.
And you brought up Dak Prescott. It's a good analogy. 2 years ago, he and the Cowboys, you know, they were the trendy team, and they went to the playoffs. Now Dallas is 2-3, and I saw something yesterday in the Dallas Morning News where Troy Aikman, the Hall of Famer, former Cowboy quarterback, three Super Bowl rings, he said Dak needs to be more accurate. He said that's the most mm-hmm. important trait in a quarterback. It's not the home run arm. You know, it's not the ability to move around. It's accuracy. You're a former wideout. Would you agree with what Troy said? I want accuracy first and foremost in my quarterback.
Yes, absolutely. Again, who cares if the quarterback can throw it 80 yards? Who cares? Who cares if you can throw it through a barn door? I don't want you to throw it the hardest you possibly can at me. You know, it's like, I want you to put it right there where it's perfect location where I can catch it and run and, you know, continue on my route. You don't break me off my path when I'm catching the ball. You know, but the thing about Dak is everybody's seeing him now like, well, he's not this. He wasn't that 2 years ago. So all you guys that were anointing him 2 years ago, don't forget he was doing a lot more running, a lot more open receivers, and nobody knew where he was throwing the ball. Now we've studied him. We know what he likes. We've taken away his right hand, and he can't go left. And, you know, that's the analogy, the basketball analogy, of course. And that's kind of what's going on with him. And now, is he a franchise guy, even though he can't go left? I don't know. That's up to, of course, the owner of the team. We'll see. But he's the exact same player, but and you've taken away more weapons, taken away your safety blanket in Witten. He's kind of going to struggle until he finds out, you know what, maybe I'm not that good and I do need help. And that's when people realize, get him some help and he'll be back to normal in their eyes. But really, he's just playing the way Dak was playing a couple years ago. He was just making a lot more splash plays, a lot more run plays. But it's not like he was accurate 3 years ago. He was the same quarterback. He's never been accurate. At the same time, he'll be more accurate in 3 or 4 years than he is right now. So everybody, again, he's in his third year. Why does everybody have all these high expectations of Dak? I'm not sure why. He's the same guy he was 2 years ago. He just had a better team around him.
Matthew, as always, great NFL 411. We'll talk down the road and continued success out there in SoCal.
There it is. I appreciate it, brother. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, very good. He's Matthew Hatchett, former Vikings wideout, right here on WCCO. 45 degrees. Now we have light drizzle, fog, and mist. We've got a little bit of everything. You know, it's breezy outside, wind out of the west. It's 16 miles an hour, 8:30, Sports to the Max on a Wednesday. We are here until 9, and we'll talk with Al Newman, two-time World Series champion with the Minnesota Twins, in a few minutes. Wild off tonight, back on the ice tomorrow against the Chicago Blackhawks at the XL Energy Center. Jonathan Toews. Off to a great start for the Hawks. 5 goals, 1 assist. The Blackhawks have 5 points. Minnesota out of the gate rather sluggishly with 1 point in 2 games. Minnesota United will play Saturday against Colorado at TCF Bank Stadium. The Rapids have 24 points. Minu 36. Fourth meeting between the two clubs. Minu has a win, a loss, and a draw. Minnesota Gopher football. They go into the belly of the beast Saturday morning, take on the Ohio State Buckeyes, third-ranked team in the nation. Buckeyes 6-0, Gophers 3-2, but 0-2 in the Big Ten. They are huge dogs at the Horseshoe. Dwayne Haskins, Buckeye quarterback, video game-like numbers, 25 TD passes, just 4 picks, 1,919 yards in the air. Minnesota Timberwolves, preseason game in Milwaukee at the new arena in downtown Milwaukee. That's Friday. I hate to break it to the Wolves and the Bucks, but I think the Milwaukee fan base will be focused a little more on that Brewers-Dodgers game one in the NLCS.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say that Bucks-Wolves game will not be heard on WTMJ in Milwaukee.
No, and it will not be heard on WCCO in Minneapolis either. Yeah, how about that? The Timberwolves and Bucks will be playing up against the Dodgers and the Brewers at Miller Park. I don't think anybody saw that coming in America's Dairyland.
Here's how big the Brewers have been the last couple weeks. The Packers have been bumped from WTMJ for Brewer playoff games. Let that sink in.
That is
the
hard
Packers
to fathom.
Have been bumped.
Yep. 11 straight wins going back to the regular season for Milwaukee. They are on the roll of rolls. Will it continue against Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers Friday night? We're going to find out. By the way, T-Wolves, Jimmy Butler returned to practice today, and we talked about it earlier in the show with Kevin Lynch from Fox Sports North, and Jimmy Butler showed up and verbally challenged teammates, coaches, front office members. He was lobbing verbal grenades at everybody. This thing is it's toxic, and I don't know where it's going to go and how it's going to end, but right now things are very soap opera-like for the T-Wolves. It's 8:32 here on WCCO.
Radio.com.
45 degrees. It's 8:38 here at WCCO. Light drizzle, fog and mist in downtown Minneapolis. It is windy outside. Breeze out of the west at 16 miles an hour. We continue Sports to the Max on the airwaves until 9 o'clock. Joining us now, our good friend and two-time World Series champion, Al Newman, part of the 87 and 91 Twins teams that took the confetti shower. Al, how you doing?
Good. Hi, Eric. It's always good to talk to you. You know that?
Yeah, absolutely. And we were talking last Saturday, Stevie T and I were on the college football show about the Dakota Dome in Vermilion. And I said, yeah, I did a broadcast there once, football, with the great Al Newman. And, well, you were a rock star in Yankton and that part of South Dakota.
Well, you know what? I was just telling my buddy Chad and his wife Stacy. I was just telling them about the experience of doing a football game with you. And I said, he definitely carried me. He definitely carried the show.
Well, the night before the game, you carried everybody else in the establishment we frequented.
With our favorite beverages, of course.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. And, of course, you're a great baseball ambassador. And tell me about the Blizzard Foundation that you're a part of, Al.
Well, you know, I'm very happy to return back to the Blizzards. You know, I kind of got away from it as I was coaching in the Northwoods League. But the Blizzard Foundation started with a young man, because of a young man at Lakeville North High School who died, who was in our program. And the family and the Blizzard Academy decided to put together a foundation in the cause of Johnny Price. And it was established in 2016, and what it does is we help players throughout the Midwest, mostly in the Twin Cities area, play travel baseball. And we take them around to, you know, Florida, Arizona, Las Vegas, I think it's this month, to perfect game tournaments where they can be viewed by college scouts and professional scouts, and one day hopefully have a nice run at a pro career.
Well, that's outstanding, and I know you – you've really subscribed to the theory of giving back. I mean, you had a lot of accomplishments at the major league level, but this is a great thing. I know you've been part of the St. Cloud Rocks and the Northwoods League, so it's something that's a passion for you, isn't it?
Well, you know, I just love helping players get better, believing in themselves. And, you know, now that I live out here in St. Joseph, Minnesota, the former head coach of St. John's University, Gilardi, you know, it's kind of like his model. You know, every kid who wants to participate can play, and we're trying to give those kids that really want to be ball players an opportunity to get out and play. You know, unfortunately, you know, Coach Gilardi died last week, and his services are up here this weekend, so there'll probably be a huge contingent of college coaches coming to pay their respects to the young, to the man.
Yeah, no question. And of course, St. Thomas plays St. John's on Saturday, and then that rivalry doesn't need any hype, but I think it's going to be ramped up even more with the emotion attached to losing a legend like John Gilardi. But, yeah, and playing travel baseball, Al, it almost seems to be the way it has to go for kids. Now, I've got a couple younger kids who played traveling ball, and it can you know, for the parents involved, it's a huge investment.
Yes, it definitely is. And, you know, now with colleges being as expensive as it is to go, it helps if you can get a little bit of scholarship money, and you know, baseball being a non-revenue sport for most colleges, you know, a full ride is somewhere around 50, 55, 60%. So these guys need help to be showcased around the country, and the Blizzards are probably the best. They are the best in the state of Minnesota. We get kids from all around the Midwest who come and try out, and because they know they're going to be exposed to colleges at the tournaments that we play in. So it's an excellent program, and I'm glad that I'm back with them. It's led by Adam Barta down there. He's based out of Bandits Heights. And it's just a good program, but I enjoy it. We've had a number of guys, you know, go D1 or D2, D3, and even junior colleges. You just want an opportunity to play baseball. So it's very good, and I'm enjoying being a part of it.
Al Newman, our guest, former World Series champion twice with the Minnesota Twins. Al, a few days ago, the Twins say we're done with Paul Molitor. Some people shocked, others not surprised. What was your reaction?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I had a little negativism when they offered him a 3-year deal. I was telling my friends in the area here that I just thought it was a smokescreen. Unfortunately, you know, well, fortunately for Paul, he was manager of the year, but this new group, you know, you always want to bring your own guys in. And Paul, I just think, was up against it. Unfortunately, there were injuries that were unforeseen before the season even started. You lose your best pitcher, Urban Santana. You know, Sano goes down. He's not available. Buxton doesn't do anything. And he still finished, what, 6 to 8 games under .500 in the division. So it was unfortunate that they chose to let him go. Now hopefully they can find some players or get the players to produce so the next guy can have some success here in Minnesota.
What's the template for a 2019 manager of the Minnesota Twins, given the backdrop of Derek Falvey and Thad Levine being analytics guys, younger, coming out of different organizations, Cleveland and Texas? What would be the blueprint you expect them to follow and who they hire?
Well, you know, with sabermetrics being in vogue nowadays, it's probably going to be a guy that's probably in his early to mid-30s. I don't know if he has experience or not managing in the minor leagues, but here lately you can come out of the television booth or you can, you know, just be a guy, a scout or whatever, to come in here and manage. I'm not saying that those guys don't know the game of baseball, but I would expect it to be someone that they would definitely have a thumbprint on, someone that, you know, the lineups are based off of who matches up against whom. Which, you know, I'm not saying I'm an old timer, but back in the day, you had your 5 or 6 guys that were in the lineup and you knew they were going to play every day. So hopefully the Twins can get to that point with this new manager and he can have some success.
Should this person be bilingual? Certainly a lot of Latin players in MLB and the Twins have probably more than most teams.
Yeah, you know, I did notice that. The Twins do have quite a few, and I don't know if he's going to be bilingual or he should be bilingual, but I do suspect that if the manager is not, that he will have a coach on the staff that has a strong, firm hand with the Latin players. I just think there has to be a strong coach or a strong manager because the Twins do have quite a few Latin players.
Al, we're down to the final four in MLB. The L.A. Dodgers, that's not a surprise, taking on Milwaukee. Now, that is a surprise in the NLCS, and then it's Houston and Boston in the ALCS. How do you see it playing out?
Well, you know, I'd love to see Boston get there. I like Houston's a good ball club. They're loaded on the pitching staff and with their position players. But Boston's had one heck of a season, 108 wins. They've got a long lineup, and they have a good pitching staff. But I'd like to see Boston win that series. And even though my family's from California, I'd really pull for the Milwaukee Brewers because, you know, Council was a player somewhat like me, you know, utility player who had an opportunity to play a little bit, had a big clutch hit with Arizona. And I just would like to see Milwaukee against Boston.
Can you liken the Brewers' run to a little bit what you guys went through in 87? I mean, you came out of nowhere. Suddenly the Metrodome became this island of insanity for visiting teams. They couldn't focus, couldn't concentrate, and you win the World Series, knocking off St. Louis in 7. You beat Detroit to get there. Milwaukee, I mean, they're a good team, but they win a rugged division, the NL Central. They're on an 11-game winning streak. That roof's going to be shut at Miller Park over the weekend. It's going to be Metrodome-like loud in there.
Oh, most definitely. But, you know, I thought of the 91 team just because of the acquisitions they made at the trading deadline. You know, they brought in a few players at the beginning of the season, which solidified the beginning part of the season. And then with the trading deadline, they brought in a few key cogs to get them over the hump. You know, just like 91, we brought in Chili Davis and Mike Pagliarillo, Steve Bedrosian. Guys of that stature, Jack Morris, Hall of Famer, came over in 91. The Milwaukee Brewers have captured that city, unlike we did in 1991, mm-hmm. coming from last, going to first. So there's a lot of comparisons there. I'd just like to see a championship in the Midwest.
Yeah, when you bump the Green Bay Packers off their flagship station, you're doing something right, and the Brewers clearly are. Now, like you, Al, I've got some West Coast connections. I'd like to see the L.A. Dodgers get there. I want to see Brian Dozier do something in the postseason. I know his average with the LA Dodgers has been pretty low, right around 180. But your thoughts on Dozier and where he will end up next season?
Jokingly, I've said to my friends, I think he'll be back here in Minnesota. I don't know what the Twins are going to do, but, you know, as far as free agency is concerned, Dozier was a decent player here from Minnesota. We're going to have to overpay to get free agents to come back here. Both he and Escobar were decent players or good players. They were our star players here in Minnesota. So, jokingly, I'd say Dozier's coming back here, but I would rather have Escobar come back mm-hmm. and then build from there.
And I've heard both those scenarios tossed out. Certainly the market for Dozier, because he has not excelled in L.A., he's really a role player out there. There's a galaxy of stars in that dugout, as we all know. Does that help the Twins in the sense that maybe Dozier steps back and says, hey, maybe I'm more of a Minnesota guy? Because you think about it, he's deep south Mississippi, bold north Minnesota. Now he's out in Los Angeles where you can get lost.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a culture shock. I know when I moved from Minnesota, from Missouri, out to California, it was definitely a culture shock. But he did establish some roots here. You know, he had some foundations and did a lot of things in the community. And, you know, he was a decent player here. And the fans loved him. I just don't think that, you know, going out to the West Coast, I don't understand why he didn't want to negotiate as the season went on. If he really wanted to be here, maybe it was a lowball offer. But I think the fact that his year wasn't that good and there's a lot of quality second basemen on good teams, he's going to have a tough place finding the money that he's seeking.
Al, Miguel Sano, now you're a guy that's been a coach, a manager, a player. You've experienced baseball at all levels. How should the Twins approach Miguel Sano? They need this guy to come back and have success. And the same with Byron Buxton.
You know, I looked up their numbers starting in 2016. And I just, you know, we're calling them super prospects. They dominated the minor leagues on the way up. And unfortunately, it just hasn't translated into the big leagues. And, you know, that's something I talk to college players about all the time is when you cross the white line, you have to produce at some level of expectation. And I know Sano's hit 20. He's hit close to 30 home runs. But he and Buxton, the amount of strikeouts and lack of contact is just something that you can't overlook. And it's been 3 years now. So it's time for either those players to take the next level, you know, move to the next level, or the Twins need to consider moving them and getting whatever they can get, because that's who you're counting on. That's the franchise. Those are the franchise players, and they need to put some numbers up to solidify their position. You know, first of all, to know, you know, why should he have a weight problem? Isn't he dedicated to know that the franchise is counting on him? Those are things that, you know, you just can't take for granted and you can't overlook. And that's something I think the Twins will have to take a hard look at.
Al, as always, good to share the airwaves with you. And next season, promise me that you'll come on the Twins Magazine show with us.
Oh, most definitely. You know that, Eric, and I love talking baseball with you. And enjoy this snow rain that we're getting out here in St. Joe.
I can't wait, Al. Going to be good stuff. Thanks.
Sorry, buddy.
All right, he's Al Newman. He's a two-time World Series champ. This is WCCO. Final minutes of Sports to the Max. The great segue will take place as we hand it off to Al Malmberg at about 9:10. How you doing, Al?
I am doing great. We're going to do our football picks tonight because Hammer's not working tomorrow night or Friday night, so we've got to do it tonight. Case Keenum is in trouble, by the way, in Denver.
Yeah, the Broncos 2-3. That was a bad loss to the New York Jets, wasn't it?
Unbelievable. And Bronco fans are fed up. They're calling for Keenum to be benched. You know, and you hate to see that. You hate to see it because I think Case Keenum is a good guy. And he definitely is now surrounded with the Vikings players that he had last year. And so I don't think you can put the onus on Case Keenum.
You know, John Elway brought him in. You know, he's a legend out there, as you know, Al, in Colorado. Yeah. Now, yeah. He has whiffed on Paxton Lynch and a couple others. Is John Elway getting any heat?
You know, everybody's getting heat. I mean, they're calling for head coach.
Vance Joseph.
Thank you. Vance Joseph. They're calling for his head. They're calling for the head of the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator. I mean, they want the whole coaching staff to be gone and wiped out. But I have not heard anybody calling for John Elway's head.
Well, he's more popular out there than skiing. I don't know. But if they...
That may be true.
Al, if they come after Elway, you know it's serious.
Yeah. Speaking of skiing, it's been snowing all day here. It's not sticking where we're at, but up in the high country, it sure is getting a lot of snow.
That's a great visual. I love Colorado. And yeah. I know you're going to have a tremendous show coming up, so we'll listen to you after the news at about 9:10.
Very good, Eric. Thank you.
All right. This is WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.